last week I started teaching about who Jesus Christ was, and I'm going to continue with our Lord and continue to focus on who he is and what he has done. And today I wanted to share with you some scriptures, maybe if I get a chance, on a couple of subjects, but we're going to start off with Jesus Christ defeated the adversary. And I'd like you to go to Colossians chapter 2. Our Lord, our Master, our Savior did it all. None of us could have done the job. None of us could save ourselves. None of us at all, could have done anything to bring deliverance to our lives. And in Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 15, it says here, having spoiled, talking about our Lord, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In the New English Bible, which I enjoy very much, it talks about that on the cross, he discarded the cosmic powers and authorities like a garment, and he made a public spectacle of them and led them as captives in his triumphal procession. In the Rotherham, it talks about where he put off from himself. You know, our Lord conquered the adversary with what was done on the cross. He literally blew him away, and the devil didn't even know it was coming. That's the thing. I mean, God's plan was so well kept as a secret that the adversary had no idea that if he killed Jesus, that Jesus wins. And once he was raised, right? Once he sacrificed himself, he gave the price, he did everything we talked about last week, and I'll continue to teach on this subject for a while. Once he was raised, it was triumphant. Everything that the devil had on you was blown away. Every piece of armor that the adversary had, and every captivity that he had on mankind, was cast off, blown away. The condition is that you and I believe, but we're not talking about us. We're talking about what our Lord did, okay? Can't teach everything in one teaching. But I love that. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And in verse 14, it says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You know, the fear of death brings nothing but bondage. But Jesus Christ, he came to destroy him who has the power of death. Death came into the world because Adam sinned. The devil wanted to destroy everything that God had and everything that God wanted. God wanted an earth filled with people that would love him. He told Adam and Eve, he told them, they were both called Adam, by the way. Adam called his wife Eve. they were supposed to fill the earth so that, you know, he would have a planet filled with children that would love him and not die. Live in paradise. Fellowship with God, the Lord, you know, forever and ever. And when Adam's sin, death, came into this world, and it had to be corrected. So Jesus came to destroy him, it says here, that hath the power of death, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil. And he will, and he shall, and it's going to come to pass, but it's already done as far as God is concerned. See, our Lord's coming back, and when he comes back, we get new bodies, new minds. We get eternal life. That's when we are born of God. And we're going to be with the Lord forever. In the meantime, everyone on this planet gets to choose. We get to choose whether we believe the gospel or not. We get to choose whether Jesus Christ becomes Lord of our life or not. We get to choose whether we believe or not. And everyone who does, everyone who makes that choice, will be with him forever. As I was talking to George before we started, it'd be glory. That's the address we're going to. All right? If I was a shouting Methodist, it'd be something. So that's where it's all at. Jesus Christ came to destroy. And I believe it's in one of the Psalms. I can't think of it right now. I think it's 81 or something, that God pronounces the death sentence upon the devil and the spirits. And like I said, I can't quite remember that one at the moment, but go to 1 John. We got other things to do here. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. It says, he that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus Christ came to destroy the devil and his works, all of it. And go to Matthew. I think people have a hard time stretching their mind around this. Matthew chapter 4. It says here in verse 8. It says, again, the devil takes him up. This is when he was tempted of the devil. The devil took him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. You know, in a flash, the adversary showed Jesus everything, the glory and all the kingdoms, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. I'll give you the planet, its glory, its power, its people, its riches. All you have to do is one thing, Jesus. Fall down and worship me. Now, I want you to think of that in terms of Jesus doesn't have to die to get everything. Jesus doesn't have to go through all that he's going to go through, and he knows what he's going to go through because he knows the word. He can take the easy way out. He is a man. This is a temptation, and it is real, and it is enticing. It's enticing. You have to appreciate that. Now, if you think that Jesus is God, it's not very enticing. This was for real. Jesus answered him and said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord God, the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That is exactly how we ought to handle this life when we are tempted in our sins and everything. You know what? My whole purpose in life is to worship my Father in heaven. He's the one that I want to glorify, to love, to do everything that I can to bless. He's the one I want to love. But I just want you to understand something. The devil owns the planet since Adam. Adam had dominion over the earth. When he sinned, he transferred that dominion, everything, to the devil, to Satan himself. He was tricked out of it, and he sold it out. We were supposed to have dominion. We, as human beings, the children of Adam, were supposed to have dominion over everything on the earth. That's what God wanted. And it was sold out by our relative. That's why you didn't get it. And God, from Genesis 3:15 on, planned and had a plan so that you could. And Jesus Christ came to do it, to destroy the works of the devil, to destroy him who had the power of death. Our Lord came and defeated him. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Our state was we were dead men walking. In Ephesians chapter 2 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You were dead, not because of your sin. You were dead the moment you were born because of Adam's sin. You just added to them as time went by. Okay? But you were dead. He quickened us. What God did in Christ made us alive. We were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. That's who you were owned by, and that's who you walked with. You walked with the adversary. You walked with the devil. You are slave to him because he owned you. Nice little sweet little people. He owned you. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom we all had our conversation, our behavior in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature. This is our natural state. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Before you were accepted the Lord, you were a child of the devil, a child of wrath. That's what you were getting. What Christ did saved us from the wrath to come. Not because you and I were so good, but because we trusted the Word, we trusted our Lord. It's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. But Christ was the one who accomplished this. See, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. in verse 20. It says, "For you were bought with a price. Wherefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." See, you have been literally purchased back. So I am still, by my choice, I am to be a slave unto righteousness. That's why I call my Lord Master. That's why I call him Lord. See, I don't think Americans get that, you know. He is Lord of my life. I don't do what I want to do or what I feel like. I do what he has asked me and commanded me to do. I have been purchased back from a devil, Satan himself, and purchased back to Almighty God, who wanted me and loved me, and he loves you. He loves every single person on the planet, but not every single person on this planet loves him. And they will be dealt with righteously, accordingly. Not for vengeance sake, but just for justice sake. The only true justice there is. But you are to glorify him in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Because you've been paid for. Go to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. He did this for our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, neither ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. You can't even imagine how good this is going to be. No one has ever heard anything close to it. This is just like, think about these words. See, the devil thought he won. Remember how when Jesus started his ministry, he went into the synagogue and he started preaching the scriptures. And they said, who is this guy? This is the bastard child of Joseph and Mary. She was pregnant with him before they even came together in marriage. Who is he? He's a disgrace. They were, it says that they were insulted by him and offended by him. Nothing good can come out of this. And he preached the word to them, and the word that he preached, they wanted to kill him. I think I taught that not too long ago in the weeks ahead. They wanted to kill him. The spirits, the devil, is working the people up to murder a man because he's teaching the truth of the Bible, and they don't like it. And the adversary is trying to get rid of him the entire time. And he really believes, the devil really believes, that if we can kill the son, the heir, then we can have this forever. And he talks about this in the parables, remember? In the parables, he talks about this. I'm not going to go there right now. But, you know, he says God sent a prophet to collect, you know, the rent and the fruit of his vineyard. right? And he sent the prophet, and they beat him up, and they killed him, and they threw him away. And then, oh, I know that they will accept my son. And they said, wow, let's get the son, get rid of him, we'll kill him. And then there's no more heirs. We win. Jesus Christ told the devil is not this bright. He made it known. And there are clues to be had all over the scripture, because we can put the clues together, the mystery of the wisdom of the God's mystery that he did to our glory can be understood after you get the Spirit, after God chose to make it known and allow people to understand it. The devil couldn't put it together. He really believed if he killed the Lord Jesus Christ, he would forever win. And if he had known it, he would not. He'd rather have Jesus Christ walking around alive with us today than to lose everything. Because now it's cast off. He has triumphed over them. He has beaten them so badly. He has destroyed the devil's work. He has put an end to his reign. It's not just yet. Obviously, you can watch this whole world, right? You got people all over the world who are tricked into spiritualism, worshiping other things. You know, there you have people who are tricked into, and you know, people basically know that there's a spiritual realm. I mean, you go around the world in any century, and you have people praying to a god they make. You know, casting bones out to see which way they ought to go. There's superstitions, all different kinds of things. You got witch doctors and, you know, and all different kinds of names for all these spiritual workers. I mean, you know, the devil wants people to know that there's a spiritual realm. I got trained by a witch when I was a kid. You know, I used to levitate tables with the folks and do all that good kind of stuff. I mean, it's enticing. It's enticing. Someone who doesn't know anything about God, it's enticing. And it seems like you're controlling it, but actually it's controlling you. And then you get in deep enough where you're in. You know, but our Lord and Savior blew it all away. And he triumphed over it. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 7, it says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. We who have believed upon him, we get the Spirit, we have been given grace, God's help. Think of it as God's help, his divine help, according to the measure. The amount is measured up, all right, of the gift of Christ. You have, now whatever that measure is in Scripture, it's not explaining it all here, but you got what he got. Says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, that he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. When Jesus Christ ascended, remember he said, I will send the promise of my Father unto you. Okay? You know, it's not yet, but there's coming a time He said this at the Last Supper. And then again, he said it during the ascension, just before his ascension. Go to Jerusalem, wait for the promise of the Father, and I'll send it. Well, when he led captivity captive, all right, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. He led everything that captivates mankind captive. Every single thing. And this is a quote from Judges. And you should go back and read the record of Judges with Deborah. Okay? But the prophetess basically said, you know what? The Philistines were attacking, I believe, at the time. And this, and I can't do the whole record right here in my mind. But God made known that he would deliver Israel by a woman. And the captain of the army wouldn't go to battle without Deborah going with them. Because without God, we ain't going to win. And he just didn't have the thing together to go. And they wiped him out. And they spoiled the entire enemy. They took from their dead bodies the gold and the jewels, and they spoiled the whole, everything that captive they were slaves of. Now they had these gifts. They defeated the enemy. They completely blew him away. The lady, I forget her name, she drives a stake through the king's head. JL drives a stake through his head, destroys him completely. And this is the picture when you get this word captivity captive. Everything, the devil's going to be destroyed. Everything that was is yours now. The spoils are yours. The gifts are yours. All through that one work. And look at this. Wherefore, it's verse 8 again. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, Jesus Christ, which ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower part of the earth? Remember, he was buried. He was dead, and they buried him. That's where he was, in the lower part of the earth. He that descended is the same also which ascended far up, far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. That he might fill all things. See, I think when people read this sometimes, they think Jesus Christ wasn't really dead. Because I've heard teachings and I've heard people talk about, well, he entered into the realm of the devil, hell itself, where, you know, all that Halloween stuff, you know what I mean? And all of the fairy tales. And like there is a kingdom where people are burning under the earth. Yeah. The Catholic hell. Okay. And then there's people who are in purgatory. You know, because I was raised a Catholic. This is what I was taught. There's a real place where people are burning forever and ever. And that there's a purgatory. You might get out in 50, 100,000 years or so. But now, limbo is for the babies. Oh, yeah. You know, you got to get your Catholic theology straight. So, that place doesn't exist. Jesus Christ, the scriptures teach that there are three kingdoms. There is the kingdom of gravedom. It's called hell. It's called Hades. Sheol in the Hebrew. The kingdom of all those who are dead and in the earth. There is heaven. And then there is those who are living right now. Jesus Christ descended into Sheol, into Hades. He was dead. There's no consciousness in death. There's no knowledge in death. There's no talking to anybody in death. The dead aren't alive spiritually in some other form. When Jesus Christ went down into the grave, he was just like all the rest of us who will one day go to the grave. And yet God raised him from the dead. He is the firstborn from the dead. That's why I say, when you are raised, you become born again. So, this man, he's the same one. And it says in verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The Lord and Savior, when he led captivity captive and he gave gifts unto men, this same Jesus who ascended up, who was also in the earth and who walked among us, this same Jesus then poured out these gifts upon mankind and his church for the edifying of the body, for the perfecting of the saints. And those gifts are listed here primarily, but these are not the only ones. Christ is the head of the church, his people. That's another teaching. In fact, we might get there. But I want you to understand, he is the glory, the triumph. When he got up, I can't imagine what the devil's face looked like. He knew that he was cooked. I can't imagine. I can just savor the thought, but I can't imagine. Everything that captivated mankind, everything is put under him. That's why he could gloriously say, go to Matthew 28, he could pronounce after his resurrection, Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them. Look at his declaration. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Everything has been delivered and given unto me in heaven and in earth. That is glorious. He did it all. He completed it. He came for the purpose of destroying the devil, the adversary who had destroyed and interfered with what God wanted, his plan. And you know what? God's going to get what he wants. Doesn't matter how many centuries it takes to fill this planet again. But God's going to get what he wants. He's not going to be cheated out of what he wants. So, now, let's see how much I can do that. I can try. I want to take you to another place in Scripture, talking about Jesus Christ as the head of the body. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Because of what he's done, because he led captivity captive, because God told him that he would pour out these gifts unto men. God has given him the position of being head. Chapter 1, verse 16. It says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. The Apostle Paul is praying. But this is a prayer that God gives Paul for all of us to pray. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. This is what God wants you to have. You pray this prayer, you can have it. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance is in the saints. See, it's his inheritance. You are his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him on his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and mights and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. God, because of what Christ has done, because it pleases God, because it was his plan, he gave Jesus Christ to be the head. Put everything under his feet because he earned it. We read before in Philippians. Christ is the head. All power is delivered unto him in heaven and in earth. And I'll show you this thing. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the first born from the dead. See, if there's a firstborn, that means that there has to be others born, right? You can have an only child, or you have a firstborn. Jesus Christ is the firstborn from the dead. See? That in all things he might have the preeminence. That in everything that he is the premier one. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. God Almighty is pleased. God is the one who elevated him. God is the one that put him where he is. And he has made him. That's why Christ is the head of this church. I'm not. Christ is in each and every one of you. I am here to serve the church. That's what a minister does. You know, I just do what I'm supposed to do. I wash feet. I teach. I'm a pastor and a teacher. I do the things, but those gifts were given to you, not to me. The point is that Christ is the one who provided it. Christ is the one who gives it. He is the one who will make sure that his people, no matter where they are, have what they need, that he is working within them, bringing them, moving them, moving within them. Did you ever notice sometimes that when you're thinking, you and other believers are thinking similar things? You're studying similar subjects in the scripture? It's because that's what your Lord wants you to look at and see. That's if he's your Lord and you're listening. You know, if you're out in Podunk Town and you can maybe in the back of your mind you can hear it, but it's not in front of your face. I'm asking him, what do you need? What do your people want? What do they need? It's not what I choose necessarily to think about or talk about from my own personal life. It's what God's people need and need to know and stand upon. All right? And you've seen this cross churches. You know, you've seen this particular phenomenon not only among a single church and the believers in that church, but you've also seen, like, the subject of worship. All of a sudden, it pops up everywhere. Or the subject of, I don't know, other things that come up. You know? It's because Christ is the head of the church. Period. And if he's got anybody in his body that is listening to him and that is meek and humble to him, he's directing them in a similar way. Because it pleased the Father to do it that way. Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. It says, and not holding the head, from which all the body is by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. When Christ is the head, when you hold the head, this thing is knit together. Joints and bands. It's the picture of a building. You know, this is like the trusses and the beams and everything held together like a building. It works as a team. A 2x4 doesn't do much on its own. You put it 16-inch centers with a header and a footer, and you make a wall. It works together to do something. When we have Christ as the head, the Colossians were having a difficult, because they weren't keeping Christ head. They weren't. They didn't have him as the one running their life. So, you got to keep Christ head. He's the one running. Just like my head runs this body, sometimes not so well. Christ as the head runs his body of the church. You know, if I'm disconnected from my head, I'm not doing well. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. Our Lord, everything is, it's all done as far as God is concerned. But guess what? People are still killing one another down here. There's still, you know, where all the hate comes from? The devil. Do you know where all the evil comes from? The devil. Do you know where all the everything else that, I mean, the floods, the environment, the disasters, the earthquake. I mean, give me something. Yeah, give me something that they put on the news. It's from the devil. Most people are chewing each other up, and they don't even know it's the devil. Sickness, disease, all of it. It is an attack on mankind because this is the nature of the devil. It's a war. There's plenty of casualties in this war. You can see it on every corner of every street. I can run up and down this nice neighborhood, and every household has got a disaster in it. It's because the devil owns the planet. He's the one running it right now. And the only thing that keeps you from what goes on with the rest of the world is how you stand on God's word in your own mind. How you keep Christ ahead so that no matter whether you're persecuted or you're celebrated, that you're his and he's yours. You know, you are a slave either to the world and the Satan, or you choose to be a slave, a bond slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's the highest form of service there is in the church of the body, is to be a free will bond slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. A free will bond slave. There's nothing better. I love it. So, Revelation chapter 5. I want to show you a picture. This is a behind the scenes picture of what goes on. You know, there's a whole realm. There's a spiritual realm, right? The adversary's got his. It's pretty messy. It's here on earth. But there's a spiritual realm. And that spiritual realm, God Almighty's got a throne. He's got a place. You know, and he shows us this picture. And there are angelic beings by the millions. There are elders, 24 of them. I got no idea what they do. You got the beasts. You got lightning and thunder and all. Now watch this picture, okay? John, God bless his soul, gets this revelation. All right? And Almighty God shows him this. And he's watching. He's got the videotape going on of the throne room of God. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, it says, And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, that is Almighty God, a book written therein, and on the back side seals with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Nothing in these three kingdoms. No one in heaven, no one on earth, no one who's dead. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prepared to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it hath been slain. That is the picture of our Lord, the Lamb of God, but butchered, slain, the dead one. Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the hand, out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, Almighty God himself. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odor, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Every single one on the earth. You're the only one worthy, this song they sang. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That is you and me. And I beheld, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000s and thousands of thousands. That's a lot. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard, I saying, blessings and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that lives forever and ever. Quite a picture. See, it says, He has made us. Remember that elder said? He has made us. He has delivered us. You know, I always thought that just the earth was messed up. But if you think about it, God lost a third of his family in heaven. Jesus Christ, the Lamb, as it hath been slain, has delivered us. And it's one of the 24 elders talking. God's, the spiritual world, the spiritual kingdom, the one that he resides over at his throne, the elders, the beasts, the angels upon angels, millions upon millions, they're waiting for the Redeemer also. Look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. See, our Lord and Savior, there was no one, they said, no one in heaven, no one on earth, no one under the earth that was worthy. But there was the Lamb, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And he didn't show up in his glory in that revelation, in the book of Revelation chapter 5. He showed up as the one who was slain, the Lamb that was slain. A carcass, like the one I used to see when I was a kid. I used to walk by the butcher shop. They had the animals hanging in the window. I always thought that that was kind of weird, but I kind of, yeah, that's the way it is. You see the carcass hanging in the window. It's not in the back of the thing anymore. They used to. But that was what was in the throne room. He was the one that could take the book out of Almighty God's right hand and open it. He's the one that everyone in heaven and on earth bows to, except God, his Father. It says here in Ephesians chapter 1, I'll close here, verse 8, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he had purposed in himself, that in the dispensation, in the administration, the word dispensation is administration, like a stewardship of the house, that in the dispensation, the administration of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Everything, God's family is going to be one. In heaven, the angels, the elders, the beasts, and on earth, those of us who believe. It's all been done so that when this fullness of time would come, everything could be one again, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. We got this inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. We have an inheritance. We got everything so that we can praise our God, so that's what we ought to be doing in our life. We belong to him, right? We're bought with a price. The only one that was worthy in heaven or on earth or under the earth was the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the Lamb which was slain. And God put everything in heaven and on earth under him. That's what I wanted to share with you today. So, I love you guys. And let me have a word of prayer. And I would just tell you, oh, by the way, we're going to have that meeting on November 15th. We're going to have our area fellowship at the Knights of Columbus. We've sent out a flyer, but we'll also put it up on the website so that those of you who don't get the flyer will find out where it is. Or you can email me and I'll send you one directly so you get the directions. And that'll be at 10:30 on the 15th. And Father, I thank you for your love, your goodness, your great grace. Thank you for my Lord. Thank you for what he has done, his obedience, his love. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son, the only one who didn't sin against you. You're the one who planned this, my Father. You're the one that he told us that we are to pray to, that we are to glorify. He did it all for you, and he wants us all to do it for you. And I pray, Father, and I'm just so grateful that we don't take for granted what has been done, and that we learn to walk in the truths of your word, to walk in the power, to walk in the absolute things that glorify you in our lives, whatever those things be, however is we are directed. I pray that it brings glory and honor to you, my God. So I love you, I praise you, I ask you to bless your children, my God. Bless the little ones, bless the big ones, bless the old ones, my God. Bless us all, help us all, my God, and deliver us from evil. We praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.